If you have your Bibles, why don't you open them to Matthew chapter 6. We're in a series within a series at the moment, working our way through the topic of prayer as we work through the series in the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus sat on the side of the mountain and taught his disciples and the crowds that had come alongside with him to hear him teach. So as Jesus is teaching his disciples, and we've worked through paragraph or pericope by pericope through the sections of Scripture, and as we've come to the Lord's Prayer, we said we wanted to spend a little bit longer here, and so we've set aside 5 to 6 weeks just to go through the Lord's Prayer. And so we've got another 2 weeks after this. Today we are going to be looking at the verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Finishing off that, and from why, well, just recapping from last week, and then spending our time this evening on verse 11, which says, give us this day our daily bread. 2 weeks' time, we'll come back and we'll talk about forgiveness, and then we will spend the last week looking at Jesus' prayer to keep us from temptation, and then we will move on and carry on with the rest of the sermon. As I said, paragraph by paragraph. But let me ask you a question as we get going this evening, just in light of last week, talking about your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so last week we spoke on that, and we spoke on the last half of verse 9, hallowed be your name. And we specifically said we don't want to change that word hallowed, for it means glory to your name, honor to your name, holy is your name. It is to be made holy, and the name of the Lord shows us his character. But this question that I would want to ask you this evening is this: if you had one, I hate the word wish, but if you could have one thing in the world, one thing, what would it be? And you're not allowed to say the option for more thing to want more things, because I know that old trick from primary school. One more wish. But if you had to ask yourself this question, if I could have one thing in this world, what would it be? Now let me ask you this question. Is that one thing that you would want, is it a need or is it a want? And the reason why I stop and I ask this question up front is because as Jesus teaches on prayer, why does he start off by saying, hallowed be your name, Lord God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why does he start there? I believe that he starts then, and that the focus on God up front is there before he would get to our needs, our individual needs, is because as we would set our focus on prayer, on the Lord, on who he is, on what his kingdom on what his agenda on what his program is, what it does is it filters, it channels our needs from our kingdom, our selfishness, our desires, our wants. And it filters it, it channels it down so that we see what ultimately does matter. What our ultimate needs, and not what are our greeds that we would come and bring before the Lord. And so the question that I ask up front, if you had one wish, you could get one thing in the world, would it be a selfish greed? Or is it a genuine need of our hearts that we would have? And that's what the focus of that verse 10 is. Let's just read this and let our hearts be stirred by it again. Because last week I used a phrase. I said I'm going to tee off from verse 10 into verse 11 this week again. And so let our hearts just remember these words. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so before we come with what we would desire, with what we need, are you willing in prayer to die to your kingdom? Are you willing to die to your will? Are you willing to have your will undone before the Lord? I used that word earlier on. I said the focus on the Lord's kingdom before our own, it filters our needs and our wants and our selfish greeds and wants and desires. And why do I use that word filter? Is because as sinful people, we are masters at justifying a want to actually come across as a need, right? You could say this, let me just give you an example, a simple one. I need to have a lot of money in my bank account. And we could justify it across to anyone else in the world by saying, I need to have a lot of money in my bank account because when I've got a lot of money in my bank account, then I can do good with the extra money that I would have. And so, Lord, I need extra money in my bank account. Lord, you must provide extra money into my bank account. That's my need that I would come with today. But let me ask you this question. Is that really a need, or is that just a really well-justified want? You know how you filter that down? You know how you check that? How are you using your money now when you don't have as much? Are you being generous when you've got a little bit of money? Because if you can't be generous with a little bit of money, you're not going to be generous with a lot. And so we are masters at justifying our wants down to our needs, to come across as need, should I rather say that. And when our heart would be focused on your kingdom come, your will be done, your name to be honored to the ends of the world, it sets us off on the right trajectory as we come to this first us-focused section of the Lord's Prayer, and that is verse 11. Give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. And so let's spend our time, the remainder of our sermon, just talking on that verse 11. Give us today our daily bread. And it's a really simple verse, right? It's a really simple verse. But let's unpack it. And let's pray that the Lord would keep the simplicity of it before us, but he would also unlock a depth and a sustained desire in our heart for deeper and more fervent prayer for the things that we need before him. And a greater reliance on him instead of ourselves and what we can put into our own hands. And so the first question that I would ask you as we look at verse 11 tonight, give us today our daily bread, is this. Is Jesus speaking about physical needs, physical bread, or is he speaking in a spiritual sense of himself here? Why do I ask that question? It's because John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus calls himself the bread of life, the living bread. And so is this a prelude to this? Is this looking forward to Jesus calling himself the bread of life? Is this looking forward to the Last Supper as Jesus would take the bread and he would break it and he would say, this is my body broken for you, and so the bread is breaking. And so I would ask this question of us tonight. Jesus teaching his disciples on the side of the mountain, is he speaking of literal bread or spiritual bread here? I think that there is a truth. No, I don't think. In our study of this passage, we would be wrong if we only looked at the physical aspect. But we would equally be wrong if we didn't look at the spiritual and we only looked at the physical and the other way around too, if that makes sense. I do not see that Jesus is speaking here solely of the spiritual. In fact, I don't see this as the emphasis in this passage as a spiritual aspect. But it is good for us to see that Jesus is, as we would jump into this passage, looking at bread that is the provision of God in our lives. It is important for us to realize that as we jump into this, Jesus ultimately is the one who does sustain. Jesus is ultimately the one who does give us all that we need. Jesus is ultimately the one who does provide every single thing that we do need in our lives. And so the challenge up front for us is not to over-spiritualize this, but then not to ignore Jesus as the giver and the sustainer of all life. You see, why do I say, why would in our study we would come to agree that Jesus speaking here of physical bread, actual bread. In the scriptures, bread is a symbol of provision before the people. In the same way that wine is a symbol of joy in scripture, bread is a symbol of provision. Added to that, God does care about the needs of his people. Do you believe that? God is not only concerned about our spiritual needs. Is he concerned about our spiritual needs? Absolutely. Firstly and foremostly, I do believe that he is. But are we only spiritual people in this body? No. To believe that you are solely spiritual at the neglect of our physical being, that would be to fall into a version of what the Bible would call Gnosticism. You can read about it in some of Paul's letters. This was a cult that existed in the early church. And Gnosticism taught this, that the body was evil. The body, you could do with it whatever you wanted. It didn't matter. God didn't care about the body. All that he cared about was the spirit. But that's nothing further from the truth than that. You see, throughout scripture, God does care about the people. And he does care about providing for his people. And he cares about their basic needs. In Exodus 16 verse 4, we see Israel in Exodus in the desert. Having crossed the sea in the desert, now turn to Moses and say, what are we going to eat, Moses? Feed us. And Moses turns to the Lord and says, Lord, what are they going to eat? We've run out of food. And I love Exodus 16 verse 4. God says this, I will rain bread down from heaven every day for them to eat. I will be their provision. Look to me to provide your physical needs, and I will provide them for you. And that is exactly what God did for his people in need. He met their physical needs, and he provided for them. 6 days, the Lord rained heaven down. And on the sixth day, he said to them, on the seventh day, he said to them, store up that bread for tomorrow on the Sabbath. You are to take the bread that you stored up, extra bread that you stored up, and you are to eat it there, for there's no work, there's no collection of food to be done on the Sabbath. And so God cares about his people, and he also cares about their spiritual well-being. He cares about their spiritual well-being, that he even provides for them, and he provides for them in light of the law that he gave. And so, yes, God absolutely cares about the physical well-being of his people. We see this in the Gospels. Jesus, he looks out upon the people, and his disciples tell him, Jesus, the people that have come here, they're hungry. How does Jesus respond? How does Jesus reply? How does he respond? Tell them to go pray. Tell them to just ignore their physical hunger, and the Lord will provide supernaturally within their bellies to be full. No. Jesus says, what do we have? And the fish and the loaves come forward, and he takes it and he supernaturally provides the physical needs of the people. Now, why do I say this? God is a God who cares about our physical needs. God is a God who is not distant from you right now in the midst of living in this fallen world. He knows your physical needs. And Jesus, the first thing that he would call us to bring before the Lord is exactly that, our physical needs, to trust in the Lord for his provision, for what we need. Not what we would greed after, but what we need. Why do I say that he cares for us? Because Jesus and God in his very character, Jesus points us to this in the Lord's Prayer itself. Let's go back to verse 9 and let's read together. This then is how you should pray. Jesus lays out this model for his people, his disciples. And then what does he say? Our Father in heaven, And then, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, why is it important for us to know this? On one hand, what we spoke about last week was we spoke about the glory of who God is and the hallowing of his name, that he is different to us. He is holy. He is perfect. But what is the second word in the Lord's Prayer? Our what? Father. God is a loving Father over you tonight. Not only does he care about your physical needs, but as a loving Father, he desires, he delights to provide for your physical needs. Who here is a parent? Let's see. Who here is a parent? Who here, maybe don't raise your hand for this, but just think about this. Who here, when your child has come to you for food, you would resent feeding them. You would resent giving them the best that you can give. So I say, don't raise your hand to this, because I don't know where the sinful heart is led. But let's go to Matthew 7. Literally turn one page in your Bible in Matthew. Matthew 7, verse 9 to 11. Let's read these words that Jesus says here. Which of you, Matthew 7, 9 to 11. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, you who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? I am a father of three beautiful little children, and it is tiring from a fallen human, broken body perspective to provide for them. But it is joyful for me to provide for them. And so why do I delight in providing for them? Even as a sinful, evil person, as Jesus says here, you who are sinful, you who are evil, do not treat your children like this. But why do I delight in providing for my children? Because as we who are sinful fathers and mothers provide for our children, as we provide, that provision builds trust between them and us. Correct? And there is a truth here that I think we sometimes miss when it comes to prayer. I would hate it from a human perspective if my children didn't trust me. Parents, how many of you can agree with that? It would break your heart if you said to your child, come here, come to my arms, and your child turned around and said, no, I don't trust you. Can you imagine having those words said to you? It would break your heart. And so we provide, we give the best that we can so that we can be a shadow of Jesus, a shadow of God to our children, and so that that trust between them is built in our provision for them. In the same way, God delights in us, and God delights in our trusting of him. God calls us to trust in him. And at the core of prayer is us trusting in the Lord. At the core of prayer is saying to God, as our Father, I trust you. I need you. And that's us to him. And what is his response to us? His response to us, Matthew 7 verse 11 says this, how much more then you who are evil know how to give gifts, good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Do you see God this evening as a Father in your life? By all means, we are to hallow his name. We are to know him as holy. We are to know him as Lord. We are to know him as King. We are to know him as the creator of all things, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. We are to have reverence and awe for who he is. But on the equal tension in that, do you know him as Father personally in your life? For if you don't know him as Father, you will battle to come to him for your day-to-day needs. Because at the core, I'll just say something here that may hurt, but it maybe needs to be said. If you don't see God as your Father, then you won't trust him to provide for your day-to-day needs. And maybe one of the reasons why we battle to pray is because we don't trust. Because we don't actually see God as a close Father who loves us, who delights in us, who cares for us. And our only view of God is a distant God who's impersonal, who sits on the throne. So we live in this tension, and we're called to live in this tension. Do you live in that tension this evening? Of seeing God as your Father, who provides for all our daily needs. And that is exactly what bread is. Bread, as I said earlier on in Scripture, is a symbol of provision. That God provides for all of our needs. And so this covers health. This covers what we are going to eat. This covers our relational situations that we find ourselves in. This covers our families. And we are called to bring all of our needs before the Lord, who delights in us bringing them to him. And he delights to answer the prayers of his children. For he is our Father. Do you get that? That he is our Father. Jesus saying this to us. It isn't my Father in heaven, Jesus saying, but it's our Father in heaven. Do you see Jesus as your Father? I mean, do you see God as your Father this evening, as Jesus is showing us, who delights to give you all that you would need? So he is calling us to turn to him for all of our needs with God-centered hearts and to trust him as we pray, as our Father. And then we are to recognize that as we pray, all these things come from him. For he is the giver of our daily needs. So let's turn and let's talk about that word, daily. Work it backwards through the verse if you haven't noticed. Going to go bread, daily, and then finish with our. So there's two words in this verse 11 that would point to daily, or and those are today and daily. Give us today, give us this day our daily bread. What is Jesus saying when he's talking about today and daily? This is a dependence on the Lord. This is calling us to daily depend on him. This is not a weekly prayer that we pray to the Lord. Lord, give me what I need for this week. And unfortunately, for many Christians, the most intense time of prayer in their week is the time that they would spend in this room here today on a Sunday. But we are called today, this day, to trust in the Lord for our daily needs. And so we battle with this today, don't we? Let's just own this. We battle not only to trust the Lord for our needs because we're so self-deficient, dependent, but we even more battle to depend on him for daily needs. Let's just do a quick poll. Who here has a chest deep freeze in their house that's on with food in it? Who here has a deep freeze attached to their fridge with food in it? Who here has a fridge? Who ya has food at home? Okay. Who ya has a bank account? Who ya has money in that bank account? It's an important question to ask. Now, why do I say that? Why do I ask this? Let's just take it a step further. Who ya has ever ordered Mr. Delivery or Uber Eats? See, we live in this instant world where we could get anything at our fingertips the moment we want it, because we've got a bank card that we can just tap now. Has anyone just noticed how ridiculous even that is? Because it took too long for us to insert the card in and put out our digital in. No, it's just some, I mean, it is. It's just, it is a lot easier. But it's just, it's fine. How many of you, just to illustrate this point, how many of you have got frustrated when you've now gone to the bank in the last couple of months and you find, the shop, and you find out they don't have a tap point and you actually have to insert? You're just like, oh, it's extra 5 seconds of my life. Who's got time for that? Yes? I have the other day, and I'm like, Dave, what's wrong with you? Why do I say this? We live in this instant gratification world where we rely on all these things at our fingertips. Added to that, we've got money stockpiled in bank accounts, and we've got deep freezers filled with food. And if you don't feel like what you've got frozen in your deep freezer, if you don't feel like what you've already got stored in your fridge, you can just go onto Uber Eats. You can just go online and you can just order something and it's at your house, hot, ready, prepared by someone else. And you can just tap with your card to pay within half an hour. We miss the contextual situation that Jesus was speaking into here when he said, give us today our daily needs. See, the context that Jesus was speaking into here, they did not have any deep freezers. They did not have any fridges. They did not have bank accounts where they could even store their money. They were living in a world that was constantly surrounded by enemies. At any point, the Romans could just come and extra tax them. At any point, an enemy could just come and invade. At any point, a famine could just come upon them and take away their food supply. At any point, they could be robbed and lose all that they had. And so we miss this context of this today, the genuine fear and anxiety that would have existed within a first century Jewish mind of, is God going to provide for my daily needs? Because let's just be honest. How many of us, when we would pray this, we don't think about what our daily needs are? We don't rely on God to provide for what we need on a day-to-day basis. Why? Because, well, we've already provided for ourselves on a day-to-day basis. Now, I'm not saying unplug your deep freeze. I'm not saying get off the grid. That's not at all what I'm saying. But I'm talking about the heart issue here. And generally speaking, this plays itself out in two main ways in 21st century Western living for us. This plays itself out in two ways. The first and most common way in which it plays itself out in not trusting the Lord for our daily provision is that we ourselves, we rely on our own provision. We want to stock up, we want to stockpile our lives filled with enough stuff that we need. And so how do we do this? We do this with storing up excess money beyond what you need. And we call it rainy day bank accounts. What we do is we look ahead and we go, I'm going to retire. I need to save for that. And so before you get defensive and just kind of, are you saying we can't save for retirement? Are you saying we can't have insurance? Are you saying we can't look ahead? No, that's not at all what I'm saying. Just hear me out to the end of this point, please. But for so many of us, we know that we live in this world. We know that we have to look ahead. And so we know that there may come a day when we might not have enough. And so fear and anxiety draws its fingers into our hearts. And instead of trusting the provision of the Lord, we go out and we work more hours than we should work. We save and we take more money than we should take and save. And we are not as generous as we can be and we should be. But instead, we want to build up our own nest eggs. We want to rely on what we can gather, what we can store, what we can build up. And so in the modern 21st century Western world that we live in today, I think the sin that the majority of us can be guilty of when it comes to daily bread is that we have not placed our hope in Jesus Christ to provide for our future. We have not placed our hope in Jesus Christ to provide for our needs. But we have placed our hope in ourselves and how much we can store and how much we can build and the kingdom that we can establish here on this earth. And so men work more hours than they should. They get home, and instead of enjoying the moment with their families, anxiety and worry have gripped their hearts. And because anxiety and worry has gripped your heart, you thrash out in anger at your children because you have to have control over something. So I'll just control my family. And we live in this anger, we live in this anxiety, we live in this worry that the Lord will not provide for us. And Jesus is saying here, Lord, give us today our daily needs. Give us today our daily bread. I want to ask this question of us, and then I'm going to go to the other end, other extreme of this. Have you placed your hope in your stockpiles more than you have placed your hope in the Lord God? And then I just want to ask this. What good is it to store up all these things here on the earth where moth and rust can so easily eat them up? And what good is it for you to gain the whole world and lose your soul? And what good is it for you to build up all these things and neglect building up treasures in heaven? Do not place your hope in this world. So that's the one extreme that is most common for us. But then on the other extreme, we've got people who would over-spiritualize this verse and would say this: the Lord will provide for me. Absolutely. And so I do not need to take seriously the gift of work that God has given me. And work is the primary means, the primary grace, let me word it that way, the primary grace that God has given humanity to provide for our day-to-day needs. And so some people would over-spiritualize this verse of daily needs, and so they would step back and say, well, I'm not going to take work seriously. I'm not going to work because the Lord will provide all of my needs. I'm not going to look ahead to the future and know that I live in a fallen world and I will get sick. I'm not going to live in this, and I know that I'm living in a fallen world and I will get old. And I'm not going to plan ahead for that eventuality. And Proverbs 6, Proverbs 10 speaks to this. It says, look at the ant who harvests in summer in preparation for the winter to come. Proverbs 10, the father speaking to his son, be wise, my son. And in the summer, prepare for the winter. Look at the life of Joseph. 7 years of plenty in Egypt, preparing for the 7 years of famine. It is not sinful for us to look ahead and with wisdom prepare for the eventualities that come from living in this fallen world. In fact, I think we are being a bad steward when you do not work well, when you do not look after your money, when you do not care, and you are not prudent with the gifts that God has given you. And work is one of those. I think we're sinning when we would do that. Equally, we are sinning when we would place our hope too much in the provision that we can put around our money. So give us today our daily bread. It is about today. Are you trusting in the Lord for what you need today? Are you looking to the Lord for what He has given you today? And let me ask one more question here. Are you thankful to the Lord for what He has given you today? Or are you thankful to yourself for what you have been able to provide for your today? There's a verse that you must have heard me quote about 40 times in the 6 years that I've been here so far. And it's a verse from Deuteronomy 18, verse 17 to 18. Let me just get the correct passage there for you. Deuteronomy 18, verse 17 to 18. And it says this. Let me paraphrase for you quickly. Do not look at your hands and say, look at what my hands have provided. Look at the wealth that you've accumulated and pat yourself on the back and go, look at all that I've managed to do. But instead, the Lord looks at you and asks this question. Whose hands are those? Who gave you those hands? Do not pat yourself on the back and say, look at what I've accomplished with my thoughts, with my mind. But instead, the Lord is saying to you tonight, who gave you that mind that was able to think of that great plan? So often, we would be glory thieves, as we spoke about last week. And instead of worshiping the Lord for what He has given us on a day-to-day basis with a thankful heart, we pat ourselves on the back for the work of my hands and the thoughts of my mind. And do not stop to glorify the Lord for who gave you those hands and that mind. And then the last word I want to speak on this evening in verse 11 is our. Give us today our daily bread. Look at the Lord's Prayer just for a moment. Look at the language that is used there. Is anything in the singular apart from the Lord? It is all in the plural. Our debts, our needs, our Father, lead us into temptation. Keep us from the evil one. You see, prayer is a deeply private and personal thing. But prayer, we are also called to pray corporately and with a corporate mindset. But the danger of living in our very individualistic, instant world in the 21st century today is that prayer has become a very private, personal thing about my needs and my desires and my daily bread. And so I would ask a very quick, simple last point laid out before us tonight. The language that you would use in your prayer, is it me-centered? Is it for your glory? Or is it for the glory of God? Do you pray me, ma, I? Or do you ever stop and pray in the plural for the needs of others too? You see, if the gospel has not moved your prayer life from ma to our, I will say you are missing a fundamental aspect of the gospel. If you have not moved to see that the Lord is not just providing for you, but is using you as a conduit of grace to the world, you have missed why the Lord blesses you in the first place. So when you pray, do you pray only my needs? Or are you looking around to praying for the needs of others as well? Is your prayer life you-centered and my needs-based? Or is your prayer life praying, Lord, use me as a tool to provide for the needs of others in the church too? Our prayer is just about us. Or our prayers that God would use us within His kingdom. And so as we look at this verse, give us today our daily bread. This is calling us to lay down our wants, our greeds, and to look to the kingdom, to channel, to filter our hearts for His kingdom, for His desires, for His will to be done through us, that we would be conduits, channels, be the fingers of the Lord to meeting the needs of the world today. We're going to just finish our time tonight before Grant comes up. We've got to pray. We've got to spend some time just in prayer. I don't know, some of you may be a little bit awkward about that, but if you've come to church, what did you expect? That we wouldn't pray? Just to ask? We've got to spend some time for the needs of our world. We've got to spend some time for the needs of our country and for the needs of our church. And so I'd ask that you would pray short prayers, maybe in your heart, to the Lord. If the Lord would lead you to pray out loud, then to pray out loud, short sentence or two. Just let's place our needs before the Lord. Let's come and petition God as our Father for the needs of our church, for the needs of our city, for the needs of our country, and for the needs of this world. We are called to pray. We are called to lay our kingdoms down and to focus on His. And so let's spend the remainder of our time here tonight doing that. I'll close. Let's pray. Father God, forgive us for when our prayers have been filled with greed and our sinful hearts have masterfully justified why our wants should be presented as a need. Lord, break us from self-reliance, where we don't even actually pray anymore for our day-to-day provision. And we just take it for granted with unthankful hearts for the money in the bank account, the food in the fridge, and that beat that our heart has just played. For all of it is a gift from you and a day-to-day need that you have provided. Father, forgive us for when our prayers have been distant and cold, for when we have not approached you as a father, we have not prayed in faith and in trust, we have not prayed to you knowing that you delight to provide for the needs of your children. We've just relied on ourselves. Forgive us, Lord God, when our prayers have been us-centered, not your kingdom globally centered. Forgive us for when you have answered prayers to not been thankful to you as the provider for the answer to those prayers. And so, Lord God, we want to lift up our world to you. Lord, you are the basic need of every human heart. You are the primary need of every human heart. Lord, the world does not need more education. The world does not need better political systems. The world does not need more sharing of money and resources. No, Lord God, the world needs Jesus Christ. You are our daily bread. You are the sustainer of human hearts and human lives. So, Lord, we thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you that you are our good Father who cares, who loves, and who delights in building our trust of turning to you. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. And thank you, Lord, that as you hold the whole universe in your hands, you are listening to our needs. And you delight to answer them. Thank you, God, for being that Father. We praise you for this in your name. Amen.
Would you stand as we close in a song?